The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. After taking some food, he regained his strength. It's quite the story, is it not? We read that, and I don't know that we really fully appreciate the story, this conversion story. And every time we read it, we should be amazed at the great grace of God and how He can use a life, how He can take a life and turn it around. We see the Lord take this man Saul, save him by grace, and transform him into the great apostle to the Gentiles. Can God really use our life? Let's bring this home this morning. Let's make this personal. Say we can read this story about Saul, later to be known as Paul. And if I mix up those names this morning, you know who I'm talking about. But we can read this and say, wow, that's a neat story. It's a great story. One of the bigger conversion stories that we might read. Have you ever heard the saying, it was Damascus Road experience? That's where that saying came from. Not all conversions are alike. You may not have experienced this Damascus Road experience, and most likely I can guarantee that you did not during your conversion process. But we can be used just like Paul was used. And that's what I want to look at this morning. You know, there are two different conversions, and you looked last week at a conversion story there in the last part of chapter 8. And there are two that Luke mentions three different times within the book of Acts. This story of Saul is one of those, once told by Luke, and then Paul recounts two different times. There's one other conversion story that's told three times. Anyone know who that is? Cornelius. He's the other one that's mentioned three different times in the book of Acts, with a total of 13 different conversion stories recorded here in this book. It's a powerful book, and one that we've been looking at over the last few weeks and hopefully gaining much from it. You know, the truth is, Saul was a very unlikely candidate for the service of the Lord. He was a man who was feared and hated by Christians, and one who did everything in his power to destroy the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet God took this man from where he was and used him to change the world. You know, when we look at Paul, we may be tempted to think that he was some kind of super saint, some kind of one that could do more than you or I. Some of you may have the question, can God really use my life? And I'd like to answer that question this morning by taking time to look at the life of Paul. Some of the obstacles that were a part of his life. Some of the obstacles that, with God's power, through the grace of God, Saul overcame. Number one, your past condition is no obstacles. Or is no obstacle, excuse me. Look at verse 1 and 2. "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem." What was the reason for Paul's journey? What was the reason that he was headed to Damascus? It got changed along the way, did it not? Have you ever set off for something and you had intent of doing that very thing, and yet your plans were changed? This first verse, you know, as last week you looked at the Ethiopian eunuch and that great conversion story there. And then here, right in verse 1 of chapter 9, yet meanwhile, Saul was still doing these terrible things. We have these great things that are going on. The word is being spread. Yet there's opposition. According to Paul's own testimony, he was guilty of doing everything in his power to put Christianity to death. Notice what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Paul was a murderer. He was a rebel against the Lord Jesus. Religiously, he was a man to be envied, but internally, he was as wicked as any man who had ever walked the face of the earth. He was a wicked man, but this proved to be no obstacle to the saving power of the Lord. Let's make it clear. Our past is no obstacle to our future in the Lord's work. Regardless of what we did before we put on Christ through baptism, it doesn't matter. When He saved us, He washed that away. You know, there are three records of your past in the world today, if you think about it. First, there's the record that you carry with you in your own mind. And that's sometimes hard to get past. Let's be honest with ourselves. That's sometimes tough. Number two, there's the record carried by all of those who knew you before. Those who knew your life. And then number three, there's the record carried by Satan. And he'll throw that back in your past back in your face at all times to try and distract you, to try and bring you down. But those are the three records. Notice who we didn't mention here. God holds no records. That's been washed away. That slate is clean. Here Saul went to kill Christians, yet found himself on a very different path. Throughout the Bible, God used people in spite of and after their greatest failures. Think about that. Simon Peter preached the greatest message of his ministry after he had denied the Lord three times. Moses was a murderer, yet God used him for His glory. Abraham lied, yet he was used by the Lord. Jacob was a deceiver, yet the Lord transformed and used him in great ways. Our past is no obstacle whatsoever. You may be here this morning and think, I have done some terrible things. I've been in some bad situations. There's been some times that I've really been down and out. That's no obstacle for what we can do from this point on. Saul is such a great reminder of that. Secondly, our present circumstances are no obstacle. What was Paul on his way to do? He was headed to Damascus. He was there. He was ready to take prisoners back. He was going to haul folks back and ask no questions. He was filled with hatred and wanted nothing more than to completely destroy anyone or anything connected with the name of Jesus Christ. Yet in spite of all this, the Lord was able to change this man and use him for His glory. He can do the same thing in your life and in mine. He can take all the baggage that we carry and use it for His glory. We all bring certain liabilities to the table, do we not? Some are uneducated. Some have few resources. Some are weak in their faith. Others are arrogant and filled with pride. However, I'd like to remind you that the Lord is able to take us exactly where we are and use us as long as we allow it. Again, the Bible's filled with this kind of story. Moses was 80 years old when the Lord called him to ministry. He was not very eloquent in speech. He was filled with fear. He was totally opposed to the Lord's plan for his life. Yet despite all this baggage, God was able to use him for His glory. Think about that. That's just one example. We see that in other examples throughout Scripture. He knows everything there is to know about you and me. He knows where we are and He can still use us. The secret lies in Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Our present circumstances are no obstacle. Our personal characteristics are no obstacle. Paul was feared by the followers of Christ. His conversion was seen by many to be nothing more than some sort of trap designed to find them and their leaders. In fact, when he went to Jerusalem to meet with the apostles, Barnabas had to go with him and introduce Paul to the leaders. Think about that for just a minute. Here you have a man that had just been on a path of terror. If you were to see this man, what would happen? As a Christian, fear would settle in. To the point that Barnabas had to bring him back and said, no, he's changed. Things are different. He's not here to kill. He's here to save. God had taken this life with his personal characteristics, his present circumstances, his past condition, and was using him for his glory. God was able to overcome this hurdle and still used Paul in a great, great way. If you take a look at Paul's life, you'll find that he was a man with many personal characteristics that seemed unfavorable. He himself talks about that. He was not an impressive man. He tells us that in 2 Corinthians 10. He did not speak well, 2 Corinthians 11. And he had bad eyesight, Galatians chapter 6. Time and time again, he mentions that thorn in the flesh, whatever that might have been. But many personal hurdles to overcome. You know, if we get into the business of comparing ourselves with others, then we're in for a rough ride, are we not? And we so often do that. We make a comparison to others here. If Paul had done that, what would he have said? Hey, I can't do this. What are you talking about, Lord? You can't use me. Look at where I've been. Look at where I am. Look at my characteristics. I don't want to question you, but I think you may have made a mistake here. Many of us have personal characteristics that make us feel that we cannot be used effectively. There are biblical examples of how God has used those. We mentioned Moses earlier. He was old and had the speech impediment, but God used him as his arm to guide the people out of Egypt. God used a young Jewish girl named Esther to save his people from slaughter. God used a young unknown boy named David to be the greatest king to ever sit on the throne of Israel. God used a beggar named Lazarus to preach daily sermons to the rich man. And God used 12 unknown men from various walks of life to set the world on fire for him. Even Christ had several strikes against him. People saw him as being no more than the son of Mary and Joseph, the son of a carpenter. Most thought that there was no way God could use someone from Nazareth. Others questioned the fact that he'd come from Galilee, but even with these marks against him, who can deny that the Lord used this life more than any other who had ever walked on the earth? And I say all of this to say this one thing. Regardless of who you are, where you came from, what problems you have, what personality quirks you exhibit, what your level of education is, what your level of acceptance by others is, God can and will use you and will if you will make yourself available to Him. And we see one other thing. Our private concerns are no obstacle. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9 says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. I've already touched on this, but God was able to use the Apostle Paul in spite of all the physical infirmities that plagued his life. Paul stated that his weaknesses guaranteed him greater strength here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And like Paul, you may look upon yourself as being weak and unable to do much for the cause of Christ. Yet God sees you differently. God sees you as someone that can use the ability He has given you, the talent. What's the key in all of this? We're going to get to that in just a minute. You know, as we look at the Bible, we can find times when God took weak people and used them in great ways. Hannah wanted a child and she turned to the Lord in desperation, and God gave her a son. Daniel was a mere teenage boy when the Lord took him and gave him strength to stand. And Mary was a young teenage girl when God asked her to carry the Messiah in her virgin womb. I know some here this morning fight depression. Others battle loneliness. Some fight against feelings of inferiority. Some keep the past sins of days gone by constantly in their mind. And some feel so inadequate to do the work of the Lord. That's what's encouraging about this story, is it not? That's what's exciting about the story that we read here in Acts chapter 9. None of us can use that excuse. We read of a man who could have just put the list of excuses and topped ours, no matter how you look at it. Yet God used him. You know, I think one other thing that is noteworthy in this story is the role of Ananias. Have you thought about that when you read that story? Thought about what Ananias must have been feeling? We even see some of that as we read that. There in verse 13, he answered, "I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with the authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." I think I can relate to that. Can you not? God can use little people too. We don't hear much about Ananias. In fact, this is really all we know about this man. But think about the role that he played in this entire story. Think about what would have happened if Ananias had decided, "No, I'm not going to locate that man." Have you ever made that phone call that you know you needed to make and you hung up after one ring? Or went to that door that you needed to see that person, knocked one time and ran back to the car and said they must not be home? Think about Ananias. He probably left that car running, didn't he? Wanted that quick escape, was ready to get out, and had reason to. Yet God uses little people. And I would put myself in that category. God can use each and every one. What courage Ananias has. And thank God for little people. So how do we wrap all this together this morning? God can use your life. He can. I think we've seen that. We've seen that in our story this morning. The story of Saul. We know this. We know the conversion story. We've read it time and time and time again. But do we really put much stock in it when it comes to our own lives? However, it must first be His to use. That's the key ingredient in all of this. That's the thing that you and I have control over. That's the thing that you and I must choose, to surrender that life. That word surrender means so much. Let me leave you with four questions this morning as you're thinking about this. Are you really saved this morning? Not just a good person, more than just a baptized believer, and that's what it takes. We see that in every conversion story we read in the book of Acts. It's baptism that places us into that family. What if we stop there? Are you truly saved this morning? Are you fully surrendered? Question number two. Is your absolute all on the altar for Jesus? Are you available for Him to use? Number three. He made it pretty obvious to Saul that he needed him, did he not? And are you willing to be used by the Lord? He won't force you to serve Him. He may make you wish that you had, but He'll never force anything upon you. The same Jesus Christ who rose from the dead and did such a mighty work in Paul wants to work in our life too. What could Jesus do if I surrendered as Paul did and gave him complete control of my life? Think about that for just a minute this morning. How could things be different? How could I be doing more? It doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter your present, your personal characteristics, your private concerns. If you're willing to turn those over. We need to realize we all have our Damascus roads, and it's basically called life. There's the only true start and stop we'll ever really experience in this world is birth and death. Everything else is in progress. You're somewhere in between this morning. Somewhere in between those two points. You look at that tombstone and it has the years. Whatever year you were born. As Bud used to say, 1900, none of your business. Mine was 1967. You fill that in. You've got now that dash. And for everyone here this morning, that last year is still blank. We don't know when that'll be. Could be 2014. Could be 2024. We got some young folks here this morning. Could be ways off. We don't know. None of us are guaranteed. But we live on this Damascus road, so to speak. Take a look at your life and realize that it's part of the journey. Embrace it and don't just expect moments that challenge and change you, but look forward to them. So often, we turn and run. How can we grow? How can we improve? How can we do better? How can we do more? Many of you here this morning have taken that first step. You've gone through that conversion process, the story that we read of here with Saul this morning. At some point in your life, you were buried in that watery grave to rise a new individual. What a wonderful thing. Yet we can always grow. Maybe we can pray for you this morning. Maybe we can pray for your life this morning in some way that you're struggling with. We have shepherds here this morning that would love to do that. If you haven't put on Christ through baptism, what a wonderful opportunity. We saw a young man just a week ago take that very step. Maybe that's your need this morning. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?